Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
On the Believe Podcast Network.
Put a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home the championship game.
Yard drive near hash, kick right, snap, hold, kick is away, it's reaching, and it is good, 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 hot pod does it, all right, hot pod.
Wilcox with an up and out, wide open, touchdown, Israel Truth.
All right, welcome in. We are live here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. Welcome to YouTube. Welcome to Facebook Live. Joining me as always is my main man, Israel Troop. Israel, what's up, man?
What's going on, brother? I love the intro. I love it.
I bet you love that last clip, don't you?
You know, I wasn't going to say that, but I really appreciate the last part of that clip, though.
There you go. I knew you would. Rocking this dad pod with us is our main man, Dane Young from UJSports.com. Dane, how goes it, man?
Man, life's good. I appreciate y'all having me back on. This is always fun to chat with you guys.
Oh, no doubt, man. Always a pleasure to have you on. So you can find us at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, where we're streaming live, Twitter, Instagram, at TroopStar28 on all of those platforms as well, at CoachBurton36, at Burton.Corey on Instagram. Dane, throw out your stuff, man.
Just my name on Twitter, Dane Young, DaneYneYoung. Easy enough. And you can find all of our content at UGASports.com.
Man, the Rivals Network is second to none, man. I used to be over there. I used to be with the national team there, Dane. So I know what it's all about. Dash and Roddy are my guys, and now you are. So you're my main man over there at UGA Sports. So got a big show lined up for you guys today, but we are presented by BetOnline.ag. It is the NBA guys is really ratcheting up. The Hawks, man, they surprised me. I might get in a little Hawks action here.
They are looking pretty good, pretty good. Everybody's a lot of people are picking Philadelphia to win in seven, but the Hawks they're putting up a pretty good fight.
Yeah,
they have a Joel Embiid problem. You got to figure him out. Yeah. I mean, everyone has a Joel Embiid problem, so it's not just the Hawks, but. Exactly. Figure that part out.
He's going to be the MVP of that team before too long. Ben Simmons is kind of playing his way out. So, but with the month of June is heating up, tons of exciting sports actions. Bet Online is where you can find it, from basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchup, including prop bets and futures. Bet Online has all the latest odds, news, information for all your online sports betting needs. So visit the website like we've already done, or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before that next tip off, face off, or pitch, head over to Bet Online and start playing today. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. So got a great show, as I said, lined up for you guys today. Some things in the news, and what normally would be a very slow part of the college football season, June is kind of slow in the news, except for recruiting, which is usually somewhat fast paced. But now, with the dead period being over, it's super fast paced. So we'll get into that here in a minute. One of the things I'm interested to get y'all's opinion on is this new 12 team proposal for the college football playoff, and then we'll talk some expectations with Georgia. With their upcoming season, all the transfers and stuff that we got. And then, of course, the title of the show is the Dad Pod, so we can't leave without telling some good dad life stories. So, Dane, what do you think of this new proposal? Do you think it has a chance? Is it good, bad? What do you think?
Man, when you said it, I saw a little grimace come across Israel's face, and I felt like we may spar on this if I read that right.
Oh, yeah, get those gloves out.
I love it. I want as more teams to be in the running as possible. I think that that's helpful. I think that college football is getting a bit stagnated, where it's just Oklahoma, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, LSU. Like, honestly, there's maybe like seven teams that have a realistic shot to win a national title in the upcoming season. And I think that's probably the case in perpetuity in college football. So to me, I think there's a little bit of like a national problem with college football that not enough teams have a realistic shot to get in there. And that's only going to continue with the NIL. And the transfer portal, it's going to be the rich getting richer. I think that that's probably still going to happen with an expanded playoff. However, at least some of those smaller programs will have a path to get there. I think the Cincinnati's, the UCF's, the Coastal Carolinas, that in the past have been shut out, even when they've had good seasons, they deserve a path to at least have a shot against the team. Now, I don't think they'll beat many of those teams, hardly ever. But it will happen one day. It will be legendary, just like Boise State against Oklahoma. And I think it's worth it to have it every year just to see. And, you know, the only other thing I thought is that this is probably 20 years too late, because when I saw that Auburn in 04 went undefeated in the SEC and did not get to play for a national title. And I know that in a 14 playoff, that would have been fixed.
And they probably would have won.
Absolutely. I think they would have. But that's when I think that mass change should have come after that. And it's just college football moves so slow with its changes. And so to go from 4-12 is bold, and I liked it, you know, but you know, you and I've talked, Corey, I want promotion and relegation. So I'm here to buck tradition.
No, I actually love the proposal. The one thing that I think about is how many games are these teams going to play now that you're putting 12 teams in, you know what I mean? Now you got to think, the NFL, they're upset about NFL now playing, what, 17 games now? You know, so you got to think about the wear and tear that this has on the guys. Does this push up the schedule? Does this push back the schedule and things like that? You know, when is how do you decide which team gets in? You know, those little things like that. So I'm with you, Dane. I want to see it being fair. I think Coastal should have got in last year. I think Cincinnati was a good team that should have got in last year. You know what I mean? So all these little teams that are bubble teams that should be getting in, I think is very good. But I also think that you got to look at the schedule that they play, you know, and things like that as you're moving forward to making that decision at the end of the day. But I do like it. But I also like the welfare of the kids too.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it from a recruiting standpoint, too. When you're looking at schools like conferences that you need more parity in, like the ACC, you need more parity. Like UNC would have had a shot, I think. Indiana, the Big Ten, needs a little bit more parity. I mean, you've got Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State, and that's about it. I don't even consider Michigan really a factor right now, but I guess – in the grand scheme of things, you probably could. Then you look at the Big 12, which Iowa State came storming into the picture, but they need a little bit more parity. They need some things happening. I think Iowa State would have probably gotten in that 12-team playoff had it been last year. They played some impressive ball down the stretch. Then you look at the Pac-12, which, I mean, you can say what you want to say about it. I think Oregon deserved a shot to be in the field. I think when you look at the recruiting aspect of all of that, you say, okay, we have a 12-team field now. We have a chance. We don't have to win our conference. We just have to finish, you know, in the top 25 or in the top 15, you know, to have a chance. And I think that you're going to see a little bit more parity develop in college football with that, and that's a great thing. I mean, it you see what it does for FCS, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see,
I think you're also going to get a lot more competition. Yeah, you're going to get a lot more competition. Those guys are going to want to fight. Because you got to think, if you lose a game, you're out of that top four no matter what. Mm-hmm. You know, and if you're coming in as a Pac-12 team or a Big 12 team, you're coming in, or a Big 10 team. I mean, what is it? Northwestern got cut out last year because of it. You know what I mean? So you got to understand, you know, this gives a lot of conferences and a lot of these teams a lot more to play for now. I have a chance to make it. Yeah. You know, now there's no excuse. Now there's just Alabama and there's Clemson and all this. Now I got a shot. All I got to do is win. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be a little bit more competition. But like I said, I hope it doesn't wear down the guys to the point that that's all they want. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Of course, we want to make the playoff. Of course, we want to do that. But the longevity of the team, you know, are we still going to play 12 games, or is it going to be down to 10 games? You know, just things like that they got to work out. But I do like the idea, like Dane said, and like you said, I like the fact that it's going to build more competition as this thing gets rolling.
From a scheduling standpoint, I kind of thought that reducing by a game or two would make sense. I don't think it's going to happen, though, because TV dollars are not going to be interested in showing fewer total games across the country. So that's a legitimate concern, but I think it's one that capitalism is going to win out, and it's going to be players that have to play the brunt of that, that's how it goes in college football. That's the story as old as time. But
I think happening in the NFL, they added a 17th game, and they're going to keep their playoff structure the same. Obviously those guys are making millions of dollars, but still, football's a rough sport. So capitalism is winning out in the NFL too. They traded a preseason game for a regular season game.
I think of a team like Georgia Southern, though, that, you know, about 10 years ago, their fan base was really divided on, do we want to stay down in FCS and compete for titles and do what Georgia Southern had done for 20, 30 years, or take that leap up into the Sun Belt. And now I feel like that decision comes to fruition, that if a Georgia Southern team goes undefeated and finds its way beating a Group of Five team along the way, Georgia Southern's going to be there in the mix in a playoff hunt. We've seen Appalachian State be right there at the doorstep. So to me, that part is really exciting. Do I think Georgia Southern would compete against some of those like massive teams? Maybe on a one-off basis, but not, you know, doing the three times in a month or whatever it's going to end up being at the end. So I think it's going to turn into what the NBA has done, where more teams are making the playoffs, but it's still talent winning out over the course of a playoff system. So I don't think you're going to be – you may see an upset or two. This is not going to be college basketball where a team's going to go make a run. Yeah, you'll see upsets, but I'm saying most years in Alabama is going to beat Georgia Southern or Cincinnati.
So you're not going to see like a George Mason – type situation.
Yeah, this ain't gonna be like March Madness where everybody's brackets busted on the first day after the first game.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, one of the things I really admire about FCS, not only with their 16 team playoff that they just do, I really like FCS. They do a lot of things right, but they play the first few rounds of games like right after the season, and then they wait. They play the semifinals after New Year, so it kind of gives you a break to kind of heal up and really get a good semifinal final. And then they go back to back weekends on those. And I think that's a really good model, to be honest with you. Now, they didn't do it this spring for obvious reasons, but I think in a fall model, that's what they do. And I really like that. And I would like to see, like, if Division One, if FBS did a structure like that, I think that would be really good.
That's perfect. I think they should get with, you know, all the high schools and see, because, you know, we go, so our first game is August 20th, right? And our playoffs start right after our 10th game. You know, just got to figure out how you're going to do it. You know, are we going to play? How are you going to structure it? How are we going to do it? Who's in? Who's out? You know,
yeah, y'all do 64 teams. Yeah.
Yeah. So we go first round, second, all the way to the state championship. So if they can figure out how to do it and make it work, to where it benefits everybody, not just one side, not just the Power Five, it benefits everybody, then I'm all for it. If it ain't going to benefit everybody, then just keep it the same. You know, if we're just adding 12 teams just for fun and for giggles, then there's no point. You know what I mean? If it's going to benefit everybody and everybody has a fair shot, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
From what I was reading, it sounded like what's more likely to happen is that the season moves up to week zero for everyone. So, you know, there would be like one or two games in week zero. I think Florida played Miami a couple of years ago, a week before everyone else played. That would be the beginning of the college football season for everyone. Yeah. It would still end that first weekend, the conference championship games in the first weekend of December. And then those 2 weeks following, I think, is when that first round of the playoffs would happen. Then you'd probably have like a small little Christmas break, you know, that's one thing that I think about, too, is like these players don't really get time with their families around holidays. People could say they want to, but man, I think it was one of the bowl games. Was it the Liberty Bowl? I interviewed a player. I think it was the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, and they're like, you know, we had a bad season. Georgia had a rough season, like 6-6. It was 2012.
Are you sure you didn't talk to me? Because I might have been. That might have been me.
It could have been you. Maybe it was. But whoever it was, they were just like, you know, my family wasn't disappointed in the bad season. They were disappointed that I had to go spend Christmas in Memphis and not with them.
Yeah.
It might have been you, Israel.
It might have been me. Let me. I had to think about that. It may have been
your whole team.
That year was absolutely miserable. Oh my God, that was bad.
We had
fun in Memphis. There. Memphis was a fun trip.
That bowl game was not very fun.
No, the whooping wasn't, but afterwards was real fun.
Yeah,
just get it over with and put it in the rear view.
Exactly.
I do think there are a couple things that an expanded playoff helps accomplish, and chief among them is having players continue to play for their teams rather than beginning to train for the NFL. And I think college football was seeing that was a massive problem that pretty quickly that if you weren't in the championship hunt, and you can find that out halfway through a season, that was going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And there are going to be more teams that have an opportunity, and so more players are going to stick with it. And I just think for their personal developments, that's probably a good thing. And I think the NFL would like to see that part of it too.
Oh, no doubt.
That is a great point. I forgot all about that. That as soon you got to think, as soon as these kids know we ain't going to make the playoff, then I'm just going to opt out. I'll finish the regular season, but I'm not going to play in the bowl game. I'm just going to go ahead and train, you know. Yeah. And think about it. The NCAA is smart now. They know people want to go see these certain players in game, you know. So they're like, well, if we expand playoff, they're going to keep playing because they have something to play for.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you got more, like I said, you can never go wrong with, you know, you can overdo it, obviously, but you can't go wrong with having more seats at the table for people to get, spreads out the talent. It doesn't make Alabama and then everybody else. It kind of closes that gap a little bit because now, hey, I can go to Georgia and accomplish the same thing. I can go to Texas A&M and still have a shot at the playoffs. I can go to Iowa State and have a shot at this thing, or Northwestern, or whoever. Mm-hmm. You know, I can go to UNC and still have a shot at this thing. I don't have to go to Alabama or Clemson to be in the playoff hunt. And so that can only be a good thing, and that can only benefit. Now, where it lies in the group of five range, that is to remain to be seen. Maybe you give one or maybe you give two slots to group of five. I think that helps some things as well.
That said, though, Corey, I do think that for the Alabamas and Clemsons and Georgias and Ohio States, like for where those programs are and how they dominate in recruiting right now, they're almost guaranteed the playoff going into the season because, I mean, they got a couple stumbling blocks. They're going to be favored because they're already ranked higher in preseason stuff. They're more likely to win their divisions just because of talent. So if I'm a Georgia fan, I look at this and say, oh, this is good for Georgia, because if you get to Atlanta and you lose to Alabama, then you still have a shot to go, you know, get revenge for that loss. Like, that's been the stumbling block for Georgia for the last few years. A couple losses to Alabama in the SEC championship, you know, to LSU in the SEC championship. Each of those times, maybe with the exception of the LSU year, I don't know that Georgia would have made a playoff after that one. But most other times in recent years, I mean, Georgia would have been in a 12-team playoff each of the last at least 4 years. And if you go back into your Rick years, we were talking about this earlier on a reaction we did on our UGA Sports YouTube channel. If you go back to the Rick years, he only needed a 4-team playoff. He probably would have had a shot four times. You give him 12, there's probably half of those teams under Rick that make it into a playoff.
Yeah, I know one three would have made it.
Yeah, we wouldn't be playing Hawaii and Sugar Bowl. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, y'all would have. Yeah, that 07 team would have. That team probably had the best chance. The 02 team and the 07 team, I think, were by far his two best teams.
I mean, 12 would have, you know.
12 would have gone.
12 definitely would have gone instead of Notre Dame. And then I think 05 with Shockley.
Yeah, 05 would have gone, yes.
So those are the four guaranteed years, and I think there's two or three others if you're talking 12 teams.
Maybe the 11 team had a chance.
Potentially.
Potentially the 018 would have had one. The year we played in the Capital One Bowl when I know Sean and Stafford came out. So, I mean, it would have been different. I tell you that, but it's going to be real interesting to see what they do moving forward with this whole 12 team playoff. I like it. but I want to see it benefit everybody. I would love to see Coastal Carolina, you know, in the playoffs because they deserved it. They did. Yeah, they honestly did. Northwestern, they deserved it. They deserved to be there.
Cincinnati deserved it. I thought Oregon deserved it.
In terms of players, Israel, I like that it's coinciding with the name, image, and likeness, because if we're going to raise the profile of college football and have more high profile games with players, then that's going to benefit them financially to have that stage and to be able to use social media in that way. So that makes me feel a little bit better about it, that at least, you know, the ones that perform well, or the ones that show personality will get something out of it rather than kind of be used and abused by the system.
Exactly. You're just on the ticker for ESPN now, what the game's going to be. You know, now you're the ticker and they know you and you get paid for it now. You know what I mean? So you're exactly right. That's awesome. You know,
and if ESPN uses your picture, you get paid.
Yeah. You know, jersey sales and stuff are going to be through the roof. I can't wait. I love the fact that, you know, players are finally reaping the benefits of, you know, being a good player. Not just a good player, but a good person, good having good character. You know, bad character guys don't sell jerseys. Good character guys and good players, you know, those are the ones that sell jerseys. And I'm sorry that my boy, I've been screaming and yelling in the weight room for the last week now.
He's a true coach, man. I had to eat some Greek food to get my voice back. I was in the same boat, especially yesterday. But true coach right there, Coach Troop, man. He's getting after him, man. He's getting those boys. He's getting those tornadoes going, man. Down in Monterey.
That's when titles are won, or in June, right?
Right.
That's it. Summertime, baby.
Get that summertime working out, man. So speaking of expectations, right? Israel and I talked last week about our new additions, Darion Kendrick and Eric Gilbert, to go along with Turnage and Tyke Smith. What does that do to expectations? I know expectations are already pretty lofty without those guys. You add those guys into the fold. Does that ratchet it up to natty or bust? Or, you know, what do you think, Dane?
Well, I mean, in your advertisement earlier, you're talking some betting stuff. I think Vegas showed you that the two new transfers moved Georgia up a little bit. Like it affected the over under, or at least the odds. We went back and forth on our show trying to debate which additions of Kendrick and Gilbert was more or most important, which that may be like hokey sports talk kind of deal. I actually ended up saying that I thought it was Gilbert because of the lack of George Pickens with his ACL injury. And I don't think that you replace a George Pickens, even with a guy like Gilbert, who he's a big guy, good catch radius, played in the SEC. I mean, he's a proven playmaker, but and George Pickens is another level too. So I don't want to sit here and give him those kind of expectations. But what we're seeing across sports right now is you just need to load up on offense, because defenses, while they're great, it's almost like at the top end in a passing game or in the NBA with three-point shooting, defenses can only do so much if you're accurate. And Georgia's got a really good chance to have its most accurate passing offense in years. And I think Gilbert can be a big part of that. So, you know, what are the expectations? I think the expectations were already that with the talent on Georgia's team, that it needs to really get to the playoff. But I don't go that far. I say that if Georgia does win the East, that's a massive disappointment. And that's going to be a problem for a lot of people if Georgia does not win the East and get to Atlanta. But to me, if you get to Atlanta and it's Alabama, anything can happen. Alabama's also a really good team. It's not like Georgia's crazy talented over and above an Alabama and a Clemson or an Ohio State. Although this year, I think Georgia's probably edging Ohio State. So to me, you just got to get in the game and then see what happens from there. Because, yeah. I mean, Israel, you've played. Like, if the talent is close, it really does come down to like two or three plays. And that ball is shaped funny, and it can bounce different ways, and some crazy junk can happen, and you never know. And in terms of Georgia's expectations, through the roof.
2012, Alabama versus Georgia in the Dome. Two equally talented teams, and just like you said, the ball just didn't bounce our way. You know, but at the same time, I think having those two guys come on defense is going to help us. Reason being is because we're good. Our front seven is pretty dang good. We already knew we could score points. Does losing Pickens hurts? It does. But we still had dudes behind him that can play. You know what I mean? So picking up those two guys on defense and letting those that front seven now go to work is what's going to help Georgia.
You got veteran leadership. Yeah. And that's the
guy
to me.
You got guys who's played in it, guys who've been there, guys who've been to the big game before. You know, they come in and they help. Now that takes a little bit of pressure off your offense now, having to go out and score 30, 40, 50 points a game. You know, now you're looking at Alabama at the beginning of last year when that offense was just was rolling, but the defense was still giving up a little bit, but they were still winning, you know what I mean? So now they get to just figure it out and let those, that front seven go to work and play.
I would tell you some news that we broke at UGASports.com the afternoon that Gilbert and Kendrick committed to Georgia. It was announced, however you want to phrase it. People were worried about Gilbert's academic standing as he was leaving LSU. He's in good standing now. He's fine. He's cleared to play from what my sources told me. Kendrick has a little work to do in that regard. But what I'll tell you is that if Georgia accepted him at this stage, especially with the gun charge that we think is going to be dropped, and I'm assuming probably they've been given word that it will be dropped. Otherwise, that's a hairy situation in itself. Mm-hmm. Georgia would not have taken him if they didn't think he was going to play this season, because he's a one and done kind of guy. He will be in the NFL draft next year. And so I don't think that it's going to be an issue. I think he'll probably be on the field when Georgia plays Clemson in the red and black, which is always a funky thing for him going against his former dude so quickly. But he's got a little academic work to do between now and then. And so you're about to find out if he really wants to play college football.
Yeah. Hey, that little building right across the street from the practice field, Miss Rhonda Kilpatrick, if she's still running it like she has been, he'll be just fine, believe me. They're going to get him right.
Yeah, you were talking about yelling in the weight room. There's that's what's happening at Rankin right now, too.
She must be really tough.
Well, hey, Miss Rhonda don't play now. She's going fine, trust me. I've been there plenty of times myself. She don't play.
How many times have you tested her, Israel? I know you've tested her patients, haven't you?
Too many to count. Look, let's just say I met Coach T at 5:45 a couple of times. Sometimes before he even got there, I'd already be running like, "Hey, Coach, I'm here."
I know, Coach. Man,
you already know.
So, well, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I think expectations are, you know, to me, I agree with you, Dane. I agree with you, Israel. Playoffs. Let's get the playoff, right? That's the expectation for me. We're good enough now. Let's topple Bama. Let's get the playoff and see what happens, right? See who we get matched up with, see what happens. And to me, once you get in the playoff, all bets are off. And I just looked it up while you guys were talking on our presenting sponsor, betonline.ag. Georgia is a +700 on the money line to win the national championship. So still, I think that means 7-1.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 10-1 prior to those two transfers. So I'm pretty sure I should have taken it at 10-1. I know I should have taken it at 10-1. But so
just to give you a little conversation, though, most people when they're looking at Georgia are worried about defensive backs, which I think is probably valid.
Yeah, not anymore.
I mean, it's still new guys in that spot and not a lot of experience for Georgia and that team under Kirby's system. So, like, legitimate concern. I think they'll be fine. The people that were around practice that we talked to said, better than you think. It's names you don't know. Offensive line, there's some pieces to mix and plug there. I'm not that concerned about that just because I know the talent that's there. And I know that Amarius Mims, if you see him starting this year, that tells you how darn good that offensive line is. And that is a possibility based on what we're told. I don't know if it'd be right away, but it's possible. So if I'm looking at it, and I'm not saying this is a concern, but I'm just saying the sample size is so small at this point. I want to see JT Daniels against more talented teams, not only with his durability and his health, but just consistency. I mean, he overthrew some balls. He underthrew some. He's got all the talent in the world, and I think he can be great this year. I also think he's still a little bit more unproven than what a lot of fans are leading to believe right now.
Right.
I agree. I agree. I was watching the Cincinnati game. I was watching the play on Twitter where they're essentially running what we would call Z cross. The Z was coming across the field. So the read should have been read cross the post. I mean, post the cross coming underneath. Well, I want to say it was Pickens was running the post and they were playing cover three. Well, he should have thrown the cross underneath, but he tried to overthrow the post and he threw a pick, you know, and that's against a very good team. You know, so now it's to the point where now I'm like you. I want to see him against Clemson on that first game. You know, how's he going to react? How's he going to move in the pocket? You know, can he control the game? You know, it's different when you're playing South Carolina. We all knew how bad South Carolina was last year. Okay, that's all well and good. But we saw him get a little rattled against Cincinnati. You know, we saw him get just a little bit rattled. Now you're playing against Brett Venables. And this Clemson defense that you know are going to be hungry from that embarrassment from last year. You know what I mean? So. Mm-hmm. I want to see him. If he can line it up against them, man, sky's the limit going to be for this group here. Because we all know Brent Venables is one of the best to do it. One of the best DCs in the entire nation. And if he can slice and dice them, it's going to be a good year for Georgia.
And that would be my like poo-pooing of like, oh, this is something people should slow down on. The converse of that, though, is that Todd Monken, this is, if you really want to be honest, this is kind of his first full season with players in person. With the COVID year being so wonky. And I just think Todd Monken's creativity and the weapons that he has, I think Georgia's offense is going to look a little bit different than we've seen in the past. And I think it should.
Yeah. And one of the things, if you study Todd Monken, is you see the different personnel packages that he uses. Take the NFL tape and throw it out. Let's just look at college tape. Oklahoma State, 10 personnel, right? Four wides. And doing it that way, right? And he mixed in some 11 personnel too, but mostly 10 and 11 personnel. Then you go to Southern Miss, and it was a mixture of 11 personnel. And then the years he had Jalen Richard and Ito Smith, he was 20, 21 personnel and doing it that way. So he can attack you different ways. He's very, very creative in the ways that he attacks and builds plays off of other plays. So, like, he has a base play, and he probably has two or three things off of it that could get you from different formations as well. So you've got multiple layers of things that he can do, which is the same kind of base play to us, but outwardly it looks like about six or seven different plays. So, you know, we got a huge advantage as far as that goes. You know, you start comparing him, his creativity, to somebody like Sarkisian, somebody in that echelon of coordinators where it's like, okay, we need to find our playmakers and we need to get in the ball. His biggest problem, I think, is going to be who's going to emerge as that main playmaker. There's a lot of candidates for that. You know, you have Cook, Zamir, you have Arian Smith, Jermaine Burton, Kyrus Jackson. You have a newcomer, Adonai Mitchell. Don't forget about Justin Robinson. We didn't see much of him in the spring because of injury, right?
Gilbert,
Washington.
I'm still waiting for my guy. You ain't inside him yet. I'm waiting.
Dominic Blaylock. Kenny McIntosh. Kenny Milton.
I mean, I like a lot of these guys too.
But Bowers,
the one that I'm isolating, and I'm saying if this guy takes a leap, like I think he can.
I said Bowers, right?
Rosemy Jack Saint.
Oh, that's your guy. Yeah, he looks. Yeah, I was getting to him. I always forget him. Sorry, Marcus. No offense. You know, you're just kind of like that injury. When I looked at that, every time I think about his injury, it's like really gruesome looking. So I have a hard time believing he's going to be back. But you look at some of these workout videos.
Oh, he's back.
He's back.
I saw one yesterday, and I said, oh, my God.
Ankle can be a little easier to come back from than a knee, and that's good in his case. But I don't even know ball like y'all do. And I look at this and I'm like, see, is it as simple as Darnell tight end on one side, Gilbert lining out wide on the other? You have Rosemere Burton out there too, and then Cook. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, if you went 22 personnel, right, you would have two tight ends, two backs, and a wide receiver. Eric Gilbert is technically a tight end, right?
He'll be a wide receiver at Georgia.
Oh, he's going to be a wide receiver. He's listed as a wide receiver.
He came in. He said, I want to be a wide receiver. Now, I'm sure they can line him up closer to the line of scrimmage and utilize his blocking at times. But he wants to be able to play some outside, too. And LSU put him everywhere. So he can do it the variety.
That's where I was leading to. I didn't know where he was going to be officially listed as. So there you go. See, we bring on Dane, he brings out all sorts of great information. So you throw Gilbert in the slot, put Arian Smith out there with him, then you run some sort of combination and you cross Darnell Washington across the field. Maybe you run a comeback seam with those two guys out there and go get it. Or run a comeback, run a post, and run a cross with Darnell Washington. You know, you got whatever you want with Zamir and Cook. Not to mention Kenny McIntosh and Kendall Milton.
That's the one to watch, from what I hear.
He is, oh boy, that is a dude right there. He is a dude. I'm super excited to see what he can do.
All we got to do is protect the mid, run the ball, and the magic. You'll see the magic happen. You'll see it happen. You know, but we can't do anything without those guys up front.
What's your prediction there, Dane? Up front. Who's starting?
I would not be surprised if Amarius Mims is left tackle, maybe day one.
I'm thinking Jones and Mims at the tackles. However that shakes out, right, left, it doesn't matter. I think
only one of them. I think McClendon earned his right tackle spot. So I think it depends on how bold they want to get with left tackle. And yeah, I say that, but at the same time, do you really want Amarius to go out against Clemson day one? I mean, he better be all world freshman.
He better be. Because
it's not like he's protecting a mobile quarterback back there. It's JT. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that's as much as I love Amarius, and I think he's going to be a guaranteed first round pick in 3 years. That's a tough spot. So
if he can get the job done, he can get it done. Like I said earlier, I got one senior and across the board, and I got two freshmen and two upcoming sophomores.
I'm in your same boat, Israel.
And they got to play. They got to play. You know, and you know, like, you don't want them to go out there and get defeated. You know what I mean? At the same time, you do want them to feel that little bit of success to be like, hey, I can do this. You know, I just did it against Clemson. You know what I mean? So his confidence is going to do nothing but go higher. You know, if he's the best, let him play.
Left tackle's the spot to watch, though, because it's either going to be something like that or it's probably going to be Xavier Truss, who brings a little bit of experience, but I don't know
if he's good as Jones. He's not as good as Jones or Mims, in my opinion.
I don't know if we have enough data on Mims to show that yet. I agree with you based on potential.
His athletic ability will make up for a lot of things, I think. I mean, you're going to get some experience mistakes, but good Lord, man, he's the best athlete in that group.
The key, though, is getting Salyer back to guard. He needs to be a guard, not a tackle, not only for Georgia, but for his future career, too.
Now, Schaefer, a right guard, and Salyer, left guard, or how does the guard shake out?
Yeah, I think it's exactly how it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
And then
Erickson at the center.
I think Erickson starts at center and probably loses the job to Van Pran somewhere in the middle of the season.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. Van Pran he's good. He's a baller, too. So.
Well, and I mean, I hate to, you don't want to guide your team this way, but Van Pran's one of those. I mean, they plucked him from Louisiana. He doesn't play pretty soon. He's going to start kind of eyeing the ground next door.
Yeah.
Going back, Coach O. Hey, Coach O.
Tigers.
Go Tigers, right? So
I sound just like him now.
Hey, I know you really do. You really, your impression of Coach O is going to be really good here down the stretch. So really let's get into the reason why we're really here in the mid part of June, or early mid part of June, I guess. The dad pod, right? Yeah. We teased this the last time we had you on, Dane. We were going to tell some pretty hellacious dad stories, right? So why don't you kick us off? This is the dad pod now. Hold on, let me do the intro. You have entered the dad pod. All right, go.
Hellacious is the right word because all right, so last week We're in the process of selling our house. We're buying a different house. We're getting into Oconee County. Great school system. We'll be right beside North Oconee High School. We're under contract. We got a sign that got put in the front of our house today. Last week, on the same day, I had my truck break down on me, and so I had to get it towed. My wife comes to pick me up with the kids, and my older daughter, she's about three. She's kind of a little uneasy. She's like full of energy. She's just very timid, and I'm just like, all right, something's not right here. So I'm like, all right, let's get some quick food. Let's get home, get her seen about. I'm standing there at the register about to order. We're Raising Cane's on Baxter Street. You'll know it well.
Oh yeah.
And I'm holding her in my arms, and Raising Cane's now. It's the only one in the state of Georgia, so it's a big deal. Yeah, and I got my card out ready to go. She throws up all over me right there.
Oh no!
Middle of the restaurant, and what do you do? So I looked down. I was like, yep, she threw up on me. I turned to the cashier and I say, she threw up on me. We have to go. And I walked out. Because what do you do? Yeah. Now, fortunately,
take the hell and give her the card. And
I had just given her a lot of water, just seeing if that would make her feel better. So it was mostly water. But man, it was just not a fun moment at that stage. And
probably everybody's looking at you. That's a good one to lead off with.
That's a good one. I got one for you. So, we just moved here to Albany. So we had just kind of got done with work and everything. And I was still in my house. Me and my wife and my son went out to eat. My son's now 9 months old, right? My wife has on white shorts, the white pants, mind you. Okay. So we're sitting here at the restaurant.
Oh, no.
I was holding. And then I handed to her because to get up, go wash my hands. And I noticed I have like a little wet spot on me. So I'm like, all right, maybe I like spilled some tea or something, or maybe he slobbed on me. I get back to the table. She goes, he pooped. And I was like, no, he didn't. So something says, smell your shirt. So I like smell my shirt. I'm like, oh my God. It leaked. I'm talking about it's running up his back. We're in the middle of this restaurant.
Oh, blowout.
It's a full-fledged, peanut buttery blowout. It's terrible, right? So I take him out to the car. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go clean him up. Take him out to the car. There's no clothes in his baby bag or in the car at all. Mm-hmm. We have every single thing. You get a jacket, extra diapers, extra shoes, no extra outfit in the car. So we're sitting in this restaurant with my child and a pamper because the food was already at the table.
Oh,
after a blowout.
That's
up and back blowouts, man. Nothing in life prepares you for that.
Nothing. And it's never at a good time. Like you're at home it's always like you get caught unprepared. Similar thing happened to me. We were getting takeout breakfast, right? We had just, my wife and I and Huck had just gone on a walk on the Greenway. We pushed him in the stroller, we actually finished 4 miles, which is quite an accomplishment because he sat in the stroller for that long. And, we went 2 miles out and 2 miles back. And about halfway through, we had to start feeding him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start feeding him some snacks because he gets a little ornery, which, standard. Right. So we pull up, get to the car, get in. We're like, hey, I'm hungry. Let's get some takeout breakfast. Okay, cool. So we go to this place called City Limit. Well, you go in, you order it. It's not one of those chain restaurants where you can order online and, pick it up on your way. It's you go in there, you order. It takes about 15 minutes or so. So I go in, I order it. They stay out in the car. And I come back and I notice that the hatchback is open. And that she's scrambling around, she's trying to hold him, right? Because he's super busy, right? He's trying to climb all over the place. Mm-hmm. He's got you know what all over him, right? It's down his legs, whatever he ate, it upset his stomach. It was all over the car. Like we had to lay a trash bag down. We didn't have any clothes, so we had one pair of underwear that was too small for him. That's what he rode home in.
Like, and we're like,
and,
made.
And like the temporary car seat too. So like it wasn't like he couldn't even ride back in his normal car seat. We had to like strip the car seat when we got home. Man, it was.
He threw that car seat away. Get you.
We just about did. I'm like, you still hungry? Still want this bacon, egg, and cheese croissant?
Burn it down.
Burn it to the ground. So, does y'all's kids like to climb as much as mine? Because mine can make the simplest thing dangerous, right? So we, you know, he likes to, he does this stuff called stimming. Now I live life on the spectrum, right? So I have a 5-year-old who has autism. So I have my life's a constant adventure, and we have an upstairs. It's like an exposed, like, I guess whatever you want to call that upstairs. He likes to drop things down, right? No big deal, right? He sticks his arm through the railing and just drops stuff down, which is no big deal. We give him some items that's approved that doesn't do any damage that he can drop down. Well, he'd been going at this about 30 minutes or so, 45 minutes. So I go to the bathroom, come back. He had scaled the banister. He'd climbed over the banister. It was standing on the other side, two stories up, like like half his foot is hanging off. Right. And he's like leaning over with something in his arm, and you can see my arm, and it just drops it and is dying laughing. And I'm at the bottom. There's nothing I can do.
So what did you do? Like, cause you have a decision to make, right?
Like, I just stood under him. Like, if he falls, like the best thing I could do right now is just catch him.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Cause if you try to get like halfway up and he goes down,
he's going to drop.
He's going to hit the ground. So I was like, at least if he just lands on me, you know, it might hurt like hell for me, but you know, he won't be seriously injured. So
mom, yeah. I need your help. Yeah.
No, I just mom. Like, Huck, get down, get down, get down. Get down, get down, get down. And so he dropped it, and then he shimmied all the way back. And
like nothing.
Like he had no idea. And so I, like, every time he tried to climb from that point on, I'd have to like grab him before he climbed over. And he hasn't, he's only done it a couple times since, but you know, I've caught him numerous times. Like he'll get like at the top of the stairs and he'll, where like he can get on. No problem. And he starts shimmying. It's like where the top of the stairs are is where it starts. And as he goes, the stairs go down and around. It's like he gets to a certain point. Like if he gets to the middle of that and he falls, it's no big deal. Might ruin his day, but it's nothing serious. But but if he goes past that point and then around to the straightaway, that's where it gets dangerous.
Yeah, speaking of climbing stuff, so I had to take my little girl to workouts with me the first 2 weeks that we started. And, you know, obviously the weight room is not really a place you want to kids, but hey, I'm dad and I'm running the weight room. She knows what to do and what not to do. Yeah, well, I turned my back for 1 second and she is up on the plyo boxes yelling at kids, telling them to get started. Let's go, let's go. And I'm like, who is this child? Who is this hollering behind me? I look behind me and it's my child.
It is definitely apple, you know, the apple tree thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, get her right on salary, assistant coach.
Man, I'm telling you.
You sign her up, man.
When she was one, she actually climbed up on the table, you know, those picnic table looking things that they have at daycare. And she elbow dropped DDT the kid from the very top of that table.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yes. Like it was nothing. And laughed at it. And laughed at him as she did it. Yeah, see, she is me. She definitely is.
The question, Israel, is did she actually get those kids going that she was yelling at?
She did. They actually got them because they said, if we don't move, Coach Troop's going to yell, and we don't want that to happen. So the little lady got them going.
So nobody wants Coach Troop yelling at them?
No.
There ain't any climbing stories for you?
We don't have as much climbing, though. I will say the house that we're under contract for, it has an upstairs and it has like a finished basement. So there are two sets of stairs that I'm assuming are about to become problematic in my world. But
I bet I could bring Huck to your house and he can find plenty of stuff to climb up on.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there will be. The thing that we're dealing with, like my 3-year-old daughter, she gets like, the emotional mood swings just happen at three, where they're just kind of crazy. And so miserable 1 second, happiest thing you ever seen the next. She was so excited to like go to sleep the other night that like I turned the lights out, shut the door, and she like tripped over her own feet and she like face planted into her toy box. It's a wooden toy box. And like, you know, this little like piece of skin right here above the lip where like, if you cut that, it's going to bleed pretty quick. And by the time I picked her up, turned on the light, I'm talking blood in her mouth. And I'm like, oh man, like I just ran into my wife. I'm like, I don't know. Like, what are we going to do?
Like, it's probably like a little cut too.
It's the tiniest little cut, but you would have thought Mike Tyson just popped her in the cheek and like half her teeth came out. Just cause I'm sitting there like, I, you know, she won't let me look in her mouth to see, do we have a teeth issue here? Do I need to be like getting the bag together to get to a hospital? Like, I don't know. You clean her up. She's fine. She goes to bed in 10 minutes. But like, man, that little stuff about parents, like no one tells you what to do with that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're quick to tell ours. You know, they'll fall, and we're like, yeah, you know, we don't ever be like, ooh, that's like my son climbs. He learned how to walk, so he climbs and he slips and falls and he starts there. And I'm like, get up, boy, you're fine. And he'll get up and start crawling off and play something else.
You know, you don't know he's supposed to be hurt.
No, he just gets back. He smiles, starts laughing, and he goes and crawls off and does something else. So.
I'll be that way most of the time, but when they have a mouth full of blood, you got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and especially if it's like at night and you're just like kind of like trying to get your bearings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what's number one on the TV for you guys?
Coco Melon. Oh, well, no. We're Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, and Things Now. You know, we got, before my son is Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. He loves Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
My daughter, she's graduating to the Disney stories, you know, like Beauty and the Beast and things like that. Now it was Coco Melon for the longest, but now we're getting. She told me today that she's a big girl now, so she doesn't need to watch Coco Melon anymore. I said, well, excuse me, little lady.
Well, she is yelling at your player, so she does have a point.
Yeah, this child is. She's 2, going on 12. She's like that little girl from Remember the Titans. That's what she is right now.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
You're gonna Are y'all familiar with Bluey?
I am. I'm familiar with it.
Bluey myself. Dude, Bluey is the truth. Bluey is so good.
I wish it's Huck was into it more. Huck is a Mickey Mouse Clubhouse kid, and he has certain episodes that he likes. He watched on repeat on his iPad the Super Goof song, right? There's a little 15-second song, Super Goof. He loves it, like flapping, like almost getting airborne flapping, like loving that song. It is like, it brings you joy to watch him watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Dude, I'm telling you, Bluey's where it's at now. I sit there and watch Bluey. I'm like,
it's deep.
They teach you life lessons. And I'm like, y'all don't want to watch this because this is pretty good. And my daughter's like, nah.
For the audience that doesn't know, Bluey, it's an Australian show. I think it gets produced and, or at least distributed by the BBC out of England. But it's about this like family of Australian dogs, and there's mom, dad, and then there's two little girls, Bluey and Bingo. And so it's just,
nice. What's up, little guy?
He's in that chair. How's your mama?
You need an offensive lineman, right?
Dude, look at these hands. Check these out.
Those are some mitts there.
He's ready to go.
He is raring to go. Yeah, no, it's all Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. Have you guys ever heard of the Sunny Bunnies?
No, I haven't heard of Sunny Bunnies.
They're these little fur balls, right? It's a Bulgarian, like short cartoons, like two and a half minutes, 3 minutes at the most. They play it between shows a lot of times on Disney Junior. It's these little like bunnies that they do is grunt and make noises and do crazy stuff. it's very trippy. Trippy.
Our oldest is now getting into like Disney movies from like 2005 on Disney Plus. So there's like the Mickey Mouse special at Christmas, and there's one like Three Musketeers, Mickey Mouse. She calls one of them Mickey Snowman. because he's wearing a Santa hat. She calls the other Mickey Cowboy because it's Three Musketeers. And about an hour and a half, she'll sit there the whole time and watch him. I'm like, okay, we're advancing to better stages in the content now.
Yeah, my 2-year-old. I'm like, okay, we're about to get to the Disney stuff, so we're getting there.
As we close towards the end here, what food wise, what's the favorite foods here?
We're yogurt.
Huck is a lunch right meat here. And salmon kind of guy. Dude loves him some salmon and loves him some lunch meat.
We're in the Lunchable stage with my daughter. Lunchable. She likes vegetables, so she eats her peas and carrots and all that stuff. This one right here, he loves those little Gerber stars, making the puffs that they give, and he loves the yogurt. Yogurt is the thing of this one.
And they're at my oldest is all about cookies right now, and she's just shy of the age where we can negotiate of like, all right, well, if you want to do this, you need to eat this. She doesn't quite get it yet. And so we almost have to just relent and give her way more cookies than she should be getting just to make sure she eats something.
What kind of cookies?
Man, any kind of chocolate chip cookie. It don't matter if it's like the little hard ones you buy, the soft ones you buy, get the cookie dough. Cookie. I mean, she will make. I'll ask her, "What does Cookie Monster say?" And she'll go, "Om nom 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 nom."
I love that. Oh man, that's priceless.
That is awesome, dude. Yep.
Yeah, she has other stuff that she likes too, but like that's what she asks for a lot right now. She loves tortilla chips and cheese dip because you know I guess that's what all white girls love. It's in the genes of her family.
She loves it. She loves cheese dip.
Huck can't have gluten, but he loves, like, we can't take him to Mexican restaurants anymore because it's torture. Mm. But he loves chips and dip, man. He loves chips and queso. It's torture for him now because he can't have it. It breaks him out. Big time rash. But fruit, Huck is a berry guy. Berry and cantaloupe. He loves blueberries, raspberries, cantaloupe. Those are his favorite fruits. He's a salmon eater, lunch meat eater, loves rice, loves the white rice from Chinese restaurants.
Mm.
Like the sticky white rice.
My little girl loves the rice at Mexican restaurants with the cheese and stuff on it. She loves it. She eats it up. Any fruit that grows from it, whether it's an orange, strawberry, no matter what, she's going to eat it. She loves all fruits. This one right here is the meanest person in the world, although you can't tell. But we got 4 teeth now, and he's trying to eat everything, and he takes everything too. So,
he wants
to explore.
Yeah. Huck wants to see what everything tastes like.
Kids are so weird with like how food is presented to them though, because like, my oldest, if you give her like something that is slightly torn off at an edge, whether it be like a piece of bread or a chip or something, she'll freak out and be like, oh no, that's not what that's supposed to be like. But like, if I cut up an apple and try to give her like pieces of apple, she don't want that. Give her the whole apple and she'll bite into it herself. That's what she wants to do.
Huck will look at it and be like, what is this?
Yeah. My little girl doesn't like her food to touch unless she puts it touching herself.
Yeah.
So when you give it to her, it has to be separated. But when she gets it, she'll do whatever she wants to with it.
They're in charge. We're just here.
Yeah.
Just here.
You know. Then you realize that when you do have kids, the parents no longer care about you. They don't ask how you're doing unless they remember to ask how you're doing. It's all about the kids now.
Mm-hmm.
My mom came the other day. I was like, hey, mom. She was like, oh, hey, how you doing? And then still went back to playing with him. I was like, well, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'm not chopped liver or anything. So
I will give you a quick sweet moment from a couple weeks ago. My brother-in-law got married and both of my daughters were flower girls. So my 3-year-old, my soon to be 1-year-old, it was great. And watching my 3-year-old just be a little ham when she realized that she had her time in the shine walking down the aisle. She walked down with my wife, and she had a little basket with the flowers. She became a little like celebrity superstar. She thought she was a little princess. That was the first time I had that, like, there's that tear trying to build up in my eye watching that happen.
that stuff.
No doubt, man. No doubt. So,
what are you trying to say?
Well, you know what, guys? That's going to about do it for us here on the on this edition of the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. Guys, it was fun. Dane, as always, man, it was great to have you on. I appreciate you coming on.
And you guys are friends, and I always enjoy spending time with you. So, happy we can make this happen and look forward to a future session.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can't wait till the next time we have you on when the dust kind of settles to ask you what's been going on with the caps and stuff, because it looks like everybody's having a great time up there doing it right now. So
yeah, it's
next
insane.
Time we get you on, I definitely have to ask you about that.
The next time we get you on, we'll have to get you to sneak into the offices and tour it around.
Sneaking, you know how much sneaking in is done over there? Ain't much, I'll tell you that.
Well, you're Dane Young. You're the master ninja.
We just hope they have like in person press conferences again.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Well, Dane, like I said, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you joining us on our. It's not our first live stream. This is number two. So, next week we start with Brinks TV. We get even more legit than we are at this moment. So the graphics are going to get better. We're going to have our actual Believe in Georgia Dogs graphics and stuff like that. Topics on the bottom of the screen. It's going to be all the bells and whistles. We're upgrading from a rental car to our primary car next week. So that'll be fun. So you have to check us out there. As always, if you want great UGA content, UJ Sports is the place to go. They just added Blaine Gilmer, major recruiting guru. What does that do with Jake? Are they like splitting duties? Is it so fast and furious that they had to hire two or three more people?
Jake left our team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I don't know what else to say beyond that. That's not my. I don't want to speak. I love Jake. Jake's a good dude. So he welcomed me into the team when I came aboard. So I got nothing but love and respect for him and where he's going from here.
All right. Well, yeah. So, Jake, best of luck to you. But as always, if you want really good UGA content, UGASports.com is the way to go. The Rivals Network. Can't beat it, man. Can't beat what they do. Roddy, Dash, Dane, Blaine, and their whole crew do. They do a tremendous job over there. So if you want to get a subscription, I suggest you do so. It'll be well worth the $9.99 a month. So I'm very happy to have Dane on. Of course, you can always follow us, Believe in Dogs, on all social media platforms. And you can follow me at CoachBurton36, Twitter, at Burton.Corey on the gram. And you can follow Troop at TroopStar28. Troopstar28. Maybe he'll get his voice back too. Maybe you can send him some good recipes. Actually, we don't want that, right? We don't want that. Yeah, permanently
horse. I don't see that happening until about December when we're done playing.
Yeah. And December, I look forward to seeing your beard too. I look forward to seeing the aggression of facial hair. Right. I didn't get the full effect last year, so I need to get the full effect this year.
Oh, y'all, right. Everybody's going to see it. It's going to be masterful.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be great.
Well, that's going to do it for us. This has been another edition of the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. This has been the Dad Pod episode. I hope you enjoyed our dad stories. Hope you expect Georgia to get to the playoffs. I certainly do. And we are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by betonline.ag. So for Israel and Dane, I'm Corey Burton. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We will see you back here next week when we come at you live from Brinks TV. So long. Have a great weekend. And as always, go dogs.
Go dogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.